Okay, so as a addendum to the question of Shmita Bizmanas as a Doraita Derabanan, so let's just remind ourselves where we were and why this topic is relevant. So, as we noted, the third principle that's necessary to figure out whether Shmita is Doraita is called Yoshmea Aleha, right? So if Kol Yoshmea Aleha, everyone is there, so then the Gemara says very clearly this is about Yovel, right? And then the simple understanding, and again, this gets a little complicated, I cut out some of the complexity in the Sifra for you, but the simple is that this connects to Shemitah of all sorts. We saw that according to the Rambam, right? Lefi Akes and Mishnah. Yovel only connects to Ksafim, right? Shemitah Ksafim, right? Shemitah Karta is Da'araita, right? Whatever it is, we have this quality of Kodesh Be'Alah, which is either only for Shemitah Ksafim or for Shemitah Karka as well. The problem is that Kol Yoshmeh Aleha is problematic because of a story that takes place in Tanakh, in several places. But since, you know, I had this assumption that maybe you were aware of the story, and apparently that was too much to ask for some people. Let's do this. So the Gemara. See what you did to me? Gemara, right? Let's treat this as the Torah or Hashavah. Okay? In good, that was a joke sometimes. I think I've heard someone made a cover for a Tanakh and put it on, called it the Torah or Hashavah. Right? So, the beginning of Malachim Aleph. Let's just do a little bit of history here. So, okay, before we use the call Yisrael, I'm going to put history here. Okay, who's the first king of Israel?
Shaul.
Very good. Okay, who's the second king?
Ishbosheth,
right? For a very short period of time, right? Then Shaul sins, you know, the Amalek story, blah, 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 blah. And we get David. David is, yay, we love David, he's awesome, okay? David is great, he's the model, despite all his sins. Right? He hasn't done Shlomo. Shlomo is good for a while until he is, according to the Pshat, Obed Zera. Things go badly, and God says, I'm going to rip away the kingdom, but not entirely, because I promised David I wouldn't. So he has a son, Rehavam. Rehavam is stupid. Okay? Rehavam is stupid. When Shlomo dies, the people come to Rehavam, and they tell him, your father charged too much in taxes. Please lower the taxes. And he goes to get advice. He goes to this king, to the elders, and they say, lower the taxes. If you listen to them today, right, they will become your servants and you'll be king. And then he goes to some young people, his friends, and they say, no, show them who's boss, raise the taxes. They don't like the taxes, make it worse. That's what he does, and not surprisingly, they don't like this, and they follow Yerubbaal, who was an upstart, right, who had been hanging out with Giant, raised a rebel, whatever, he comes back. Yerubbaal, then Nifak. Okay? Call yourself splits. Yerubbaal gets, now this is very unclear in Tanakh, but the general way that Chazal talk about it is 10 and 2. In different places in Tanakh, it could be anywhere from 11 and 1, which is what it sounds like in Tanakh, right, to 9 and 3. It's very unclear, right? Rehavam definitely gets Yehuda, right? Most of the Shvatim go to Yerubbaal, right, which is the northern kingdom. This is north, this is south. Okay? Right? It seems like Levi doesn't count for these purposes, but Levi, right, seems to be among the Shvatim, or at least much of Levi, with Yehuda, right? Possibly also, as Chazal understand it, Binyamin, right? Why Binyamin? Because this is Israel, right? And this is Yerushalayim.
Right?
Yerushalayim is divided between Yehuda and Binyamin, right? Binyamin is right there, right? It's also possible that Shimon is there because Shimon dwells about here in the middle of Yehuda, This is not totally clear, but whatever. Let's call it for now the 10 shvatim.
Oh, they're in the middle of you.
Yeah, they're like interspersed over here in the middle of you, though. Okay? So, for the moment, we're talking about this. We're talking about the Northern Kingdom. Fine. So this goes on for a while, for several hundred years, in the Southern Kingdom. Right? So in the Southern Kingdom, right? You always have Malchut Beit David, then Acharvet. Okay? Right, son after son, right, you have a dynasty here. This is known as the Northern Kingdom, which is either known as Israel, right, this is known as Judah, right, this is known as Israel, or alternatively, Ephraim, right? Why is it called Ephraim? Because Yerovam ben Nevat, who's the first king, is from Ephraim, okay? Here, people don't last very long as kings, right? The longest dynasty you have in Israel is, I think, 4 generations. You have kings who last not so long, like Zimri, who lasts for a week, right? Right? It's not a very stable kingdom, depending on the time. Fine, meantime, they're not so great, right? Starting already with Yerovam, they build Agalim, they build golden calves here and here. Which are either Avodah Zarah, or at least a replacement for Yerushalayim, and then through much of the period they worship Avodah Zarah, and they're terrible. Okay? Fine. At some point, God says, I've had enough. Okay? I've had enough. That's where you pick up in Perek Bet, in Melachim Bet, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuvav, Vayhi Yichatu Bnei Yisrael Adonai Elohim Hama'aleh Otam Erech Mitzrayim Mitachad Yad Paro Melech Mitzrayim Vayiru Elohim Achirim. And it was when the Jews sinned against God who took them out of Egypt from Paro, and they worshipped other gods. And they went in the ways of the other nations that God had driven away. They did all types of terrible things. They built bamos. Right? They built these statues and these idolatrous trees. On every hill, under every tree. Right? There's Abu Dzar everywhere. It's rampant. And they bring incense, right, to these idols, to make God angry, like all the nations he drove out. We have to do a gilulim, right, goes on and on and on and on, right? God eventually, right, this goes on for a while. They hate God, they hate, right, they leave God, blah, 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 blah. Eventually what happens? So God says, I said, goodbye. Only Yehuda, only Malchut Yehuda staying, everybody else, bye-bye. Right? Goodbye. Leave. How does he leave?
With the Assyrians.
Very good, right? The Assyrians. So that's what you get in Pasuk Chof Daled, right? So in general, in Tanakh, Mitzafon, Kipatach, Hara'ah, the evil always comes from the north. Right? Mitzafon, Kipatach, Hara'ah. Right? Right, you know, right, Mesopotamia, right, it always comes here, right, Assyria, and later Babel. So, Vayavon Melech Ashur mi Babel, umi Kutota, umi Ava, umi Hamas, umi Sepharvayim, Vayoshev Vareshim Ron Tachab in Israel, Vayoshu et Shamron, Vayoshu Vara. So the king of Ashur comes, and he takes this over, and he moves into the capital, into Shamron. Fine? He moves into Shomron. Right? And he puts other people in the Shomron, right? And he takes out, right, everybody else, right? So Ashur, because they sinned, Ashur gets, right, kicks out the Assyrian tribe. Okay, yeah, that's where we are. Fine. So the question is, what happened? Right, what happened? Right? So we need He didn't kill them. He kicked them out.
He kicked them out. Galut is the normal one. Right now, we have a problem. Because Shemitah and Yovel depend on Kol Yoshevah Aleph.
Now, simple mathematics is that
1/6 does not equal 100%.
Okay? right? This is very simple mathematics here, right? Exactly, right? 1/6, right? 10 to the number, bye-bye, right? Right? The other, right? This is not called. It's not row. It's not called. It's not anything, right? So the question then becomes, well, how do we in any way, shape, or form ever have call yourself out if 10 trusts are gone? It gets worse. Because let's say that you're totally fine with saying that nowadays Shemitah is Jerabanan, Mitzvah Chassidut, because we don't have Kol Yisraelah. But one day, Yavo Mashiach, right? Ani Mamin, I believe Mashiach is coming by the time we finish Shir, right? Mashiach will be here, right? Pitaam, everything will be great. God will bring back all the Galuyot. Everyone will show up in Eretz Yisrael. They'll all be in their Shvatim. Now, what's the problem? Who's coming back, Zach? Who's coming back? Who's going to come back? What? Well, that's what I'm asking. Are the Yisrael Shvatim even coming back? So exactly. So in source number one, you discover that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells you, Aseret HaShvatim Einan Atidin Lachzor. The 10 tribes are never coming back. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Right, they're gone. That's it. Right. Shenamar vayashlichem, and it quotes Tanakh, shockingly, because God, what had God said about him? Vayashlichem el eretz acheret kayom hazeh. I have sent them away. Like today, mahayom haleich v'en chozer. Mishnah says, we compare it. The day. You know what happens? Days. I know this is crazy, but a day passes, and then it never comes back. Right?
And the prophet
can tell him
that it's
invisible.
Like, if you were to say that, you know
that. Rabbi Kiva says, goodbye forever. Bye-bye. They're never coming back. Right? Yalla. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Eliezer says no. He compared them to a day. Kayom hazeh, ma yom ma'afil u'meir. Light, right? Days are cyclical. Light, right? Day, night, light, darkness, right? Af aseret shvatim sha'afil lehen, so to the aseret shvatim, now it is dark for them, it is their night. Kach atida lahair lehen, but one day there will be light. Shem machloket. Rabbi Kiva says, they are never coming back. They're never coming back. You're asking Akasha on different... There's not much evidence according to the Shita. I don't know. Or maybe there's one person. I don't know. No, Binyamin. Binyamin's still there. No, sorry. That doesn't work. That's Rachel. No. It's either that, either the Shita doesn't, either the Rukia doesn't believe in Mashiach ben Yosef, or he believes in Mashiach ben Yosef, or I don't know. Or maybe there's some people left over. Right? Now. Okay. One more piece of data we have to deal with is that when we say the Aseret HaShvatim, right, never came back, right, we mean most. But there are pockets of the other Shvatim that are still alive. How do I know? That is not how I know. How do I know that people from the other tribes remain? How do I know that? Remember this book here?
Oh, right, the Torah.
Oh, really? We'd love to test you on Kabbalah.
I don't know. I watched a couple of Madonna videos on Kabbalah.
Would you like me to test you on Kabbalah?
Huh.
The registering does everything. What? Right? For everything. That's the red pencil? Yeah, that's it. Okay. So, let me read you some from this book that you haven't read. God, you're killing me. So, this is from Divrei Hayamim. So, Hizkiyahu, as we had mentioned in the past, is a superhero. Right? He is a superhero. And he decides that he is going to, even though his father was terrible and his son was worse, right? father is Ahaz, terrible, and his son Manasseh is the worst of the worst, as we talked about a little bit in the Megadazah. So he decides he's going to bring everybody back to God. He's going to bring them back to the Beit HaMikdash. And he's going to worship God, da, 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 da. And then he's going to celebrate Pesach. He's going to have Pesach, a massive Pesach. And what does he do? He decides, after he has galvanized Shevet Yehudah, bring her up in Pesach, then what does he do? He decides that it's not enough to bring Yehudah to worship God again. He also wants to bring whoever is left over in Malchut, Israel. Because apparently, when Ashur kicked out the Sheretz Ratzim, they left some people. And therefore, the beginning of Perek Lamed and Divrei Yamim Bet tells you, Vayishlach Yehizkiyahu al kol Yisrael v'Yehudah. He sent letters to all of Israel, the northern kingdom, and Yehudah. V'gam igrot katav al Ephraim u'minashe lavo l'veit Hashem v'Yerushalayim l'asot Pesach l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. He also sends letters to Ephraim, right, and to Menashe to come back and worship. Right? And what does he say? It does work. It does work. Right? And then he tells them, don't be like your fathers and your brothers who rebelled against God. By his name, Lishama, and therefore God destroyed them. Kasheratem Roim, as you currently see, right? Because remember, right? Most of the entire nation are gone. There's just a few people left. So those. Yes, that's what I just said. I'm proving to you that there were people left, right? There are some people left, right? So when we say Asher HaShvatim were kicked out, we mean most of them.
Why were they allowed to stay?
Because presumably they weren't a threat, right? If you kick out 90% of the people and you leave a few pockets of, you know, poor stragglers, either they weren't bad or it's still not a great existence, right? Meaning most of the country's kicked out and you're left, and as the Pesukim continue, the land, right, Assyria would relocate people. So they were now a minority and there were other people there, right? It's not exactly a great place, but they were living there, right? And he says, sorry, I skipped the pasuk. That was important. So the messengers went out from the king and all of Israel and Yehudah. B'nei Israel, and he said, B'nei Israel, not Jews, but people of the northern kingdom. Shuvu el Hashem Elokei Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Return to God, or the God of Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. V'yashov el ha'pleita ha'nish'eret lochem mikaf malchei Ashur. And return the remnants who were left here by the king of Assyria. Okay? And yes, you're telling me why would it work? The answer is, it does, right? I don't know, right? And then if you continue, you discover that they do. Pasuk Yud-Chet, when describing the Karban Pesach, Ki marbita am rabat ne'efraim v'nashe yizachar v'zvulun lo yitaharu. Yechizkiyahu pushed off the Karban Pesach, right, to Pesach Sheni. The Gemara gets into exactly what that means. Because the people coming from Ephraim and Nasha, Yizachar and Zvulun, were not yet tahor. Okay, so what do we have? We discover that the Aseret HaShvatim were kicked out, but that only means majority of them were. And now you have a machloket and a mishnah whether the majority of the Shvatim that are exiled, are they ever coming back? Okay? So the way I've divided this sheet was as follows. There's the local Shemitah questions and then there's the broader questions. Okay? Why don't we do the Shemitah questions first, right? And then we'll talk about the Aseret HaShvatim in general. Okay? Yes? Fair enough? Okay, so skip down then to number 9. So the question that the Rishonim and the Acharonim have to ask is, how does this whole calculus, right, the fact that the 10 Shvatim are gone, some of them remained, right, and then you have a machloket whether they're ever coming back, how does this relate to the possibility of Shemitah applying even in the time of Mashiach, right, if what you need is Kol Yosheveha allowed, right? And in order to answer this question, we have to go back to what we talked about at the very end of yesterday, which is, what's the key word we need to define?
Cult.
Right? Cult. Because it could mean all. It could be all possible. It could mean row. And it could be? Right? Right. Every group, right, represented or something like that, right? Sure, a lot, I don't know. Right?
Last year, close to 50.
Oh, stop.
What do you mean by all possible?
What do I mean by all possible? Good, so that's what we're going to see. So this is where we go, okay? So this is what we have to understand. So the Ramban says in Gittin, V'eino mechuvar li. It's not clear to me. Shelefi da'ati, afilu l'man v'yamar aser, shvatem yirmiyahu hechziran. Even according to the person that the Aseret Shvatim, not only are they coming back, but they've already come back, right, in the time of Yirmiyahu. Lo galula bevel me'olam, el ha'chazim v'kamam ha'rishon, k'damrinu bevatem bagayim, elu Aseret Shvatim, shegalula madai, v'sham nishtaku kulam. Lonit Arvo in Yisrael, lo galu lebavel, right? Wherever they went, they didn't go to Bavel. Uvay sheni lo hayu me'olam, and they were definitely not around in Vay sheni. V'od, shim lo haya helom netaken doro, lo metaken ledor rapayim, ela im yichashu v'atma. V'od, after lo marchi taken helo v'yom l'cheshiyar v'em ekdash yasu prozbol chas v'shalom, right? You can't say that he only made the prozbol for later on. Right? So he's saying, first of all, what's the problem? They didn't come back. Right? They didn't come back. Right? Probably, right? Even if they came back, they weren't around in Bayit Sheni, which means, or even if they came back temporarily, some of them in the time of Yirmiyahu, the point is, majority of the Aseret HaShvatim were not back. When were they not back? So we have different time periods that we need to worry about. What are the relevant time periods in the Sugya? In the Sugya, what are the two most important time periods? Ezra and Nehem, right? Right? And, well, really three periods. Ezra, which is the beginning of Bayit Sheni, Hillel, at the end of Bayit Sheni, because that's one of the data points, remember? Right, which one of our proofs is Hillel's Sakana Prusbol, which may depend on being their Abundant, and therefore we want to know the status of Sheni to the time of Hillel, and Nehem. So the Ramban says, here's my problem. Even if some of them came back in Yirmiyahu, they weren't part of Galut Bayit Sheni, and therefore did they come back with Ezra? No. If they didn't come back in the time of Ezra, were they there in the time of Hillel? No. If they weren't there in the time of Hillel, then presumably, right, in the time of Hillel it wouldn't have been. Right? In the time of Ezra, in the time of Ezra, right, there was no Shemitah. So he says, right, he says it can't be that it applied in the time of Hillel and not later. Right, again, he's going through all the possibilities. But then skip down. Okay, right after he goes through all of that, he says, but my biggest problem with this whole sugya is, said, my biggest problem with this whole sugya is that it's very clear if you read Tanakh, especially Divrei Hayamim, who came back? Yehuda and Binyamin. Because that's who went to Bavel. Because remember, right? Ezra's coming from Bavel. Who's in Bavel? The people who were exiled by Bavel. Who was exiled by Bavel? Yehuda. Yisrael was exiled by Ashur, right, by Assyria. So Ramban said, my biggest question here is, I don't understand this. How is Shemitah ever relevant if only Yehuda and Binyamin came back? Right? V'od, Shareki, Eskinu, Ezra, Lav, Kulu, Yisrael, Salu. And he says, first of all, the people who came back were only Yehuda and Binyamin. Second of all, in the time of Ezra, how many people came back with Ezra?
Not all of them.
Not just not all of them.
A minority.
Minority of them. A very, very small minority of them. And of the people who came, not only was a minority, most of them were the dregs of society. That's all he brings back, right? Most of them are some Kohanim in the Israelim, but a lot of them were Mamzerim, right? Were Nisinim, right? This is the first mission, the fourth paragraph of Kiddusha, right? There are 10 groups of people who come back, right? So he said, right, when Israel came back, they're only from Tushvatim, and almost no one comes back. And therefore, biggest problem is that going all the way back to Ezra, what are we missing? Eino nikra kol Yoshua alea below, right? Below v'vo'achem adika ro kol shevet v'shevet demrim v'alma v'chol dinei tibur, right? Therefore, we don't have kol Yoshua alea, right? Because what's the simplest shot according to him of kol Yoshua alea? Ro kol shevet v'shevet. Right, he says, call me row of each shevet. Right, why did he think of each shevet and not of Paul Yisrael?
Why is each shevet important? Why is each shevet important according to him?
Very good. Right, because it's not just about Biat Kulchem, which is total number. But kol yoshvei alea is each shevet has to be in its place. It means that we judge it by shevet, and therefore he says, "I don't understand." Right? I don't understand. In the end of the day, how is shmita ever going to be relevant again if they just didn't come back? Right? If you assume that Kol Yisrael, the majority of Kol Yisrael, the majority of the Shevet are back, and you know that in the time of Israel, only Binyamin came back, and Yehudan Binyamin came back, and even of the people who came back, it was a minority. So then, by definition, that would mean that in the time of Ezra, there's no Kol Yisrael at all, right? He says, I don't understand, right? Right? Even in the time of Ezra, there's no Kol Yisrael, and it seems to be not only there's no Kol Yisrael, but it might even be impossible to ever have Kol Yisrael, right?
What's the problem with it
being
under a bunch of notes?
Right? And there, what?
What's the problem with it being under a bunch of
notes? So 1 second. So what now he says, V'chital al dat ha-rabzal shem alo shayim v'shol shem v'kol shevet v'shevet lo yei no yovel no adlehem. Right? So what? Right? So what's the problem? Right? The problem is as follows. I'm sorry. I should have given you really Rabbeinu Tam first. Right? Right, so remember, he's commenting here on Rabbeinu Tam's position that Yovel did apply in the time of, remember Rabbeinu Tam's position? Yovel applied in the time of the Bnei Mikdash, and Hillel was being mitakim for later. Remember that bizarre position of Hillel?
Yeah.
Of Rabbeinu Tam within Hillel? Yeah. Right, so Ramban says, I don't understand. Because why would that be true? He says it can't be. Because, right? It presumes, right, he says it can't be. And therefore, what is the Ramban conclude? Right? The Ramban conclude in the Hanami that in the time of Ezra, the time of Hillel, the time of Bayin Sheni, was Shemitah and Yovel Doraita? No, because there's no Kol Yisrael even possible. Right? We're missing the 10 Shvatim. Even of the Shvatim that we have, it's Yehuda and Binyamin, and even of them, it's a minority. Right? Now, the problem with the Ramban is that he seems very clearly to say that in the time of Bayit Sheni, Shemitah v'Yovel was not Doraita. And what does he say about the possibility of it ever being, ever applying again? Yeah. What's the simple shot on the Ramban? Josh says, why is it a problem? What's the simple implication of the Ramban? That it was definitely not Doraita even in the time of Bayacheni, because in the time of Bayacheni, you didn't have Kalir Shmaya left. How does he know? Because he defined Kalir Shmaya as Rome, Kalir Shmaya, and what did you have? First of all, you only had two Shvatim, and of those two Shvatim, you had a minority. Right? And therefore, he says, in the time of Ezra, in the time of Hillel, and nowadays, Shemitah is Darabana. But the problem that many people have is, wait a second, according to his simple analysis, right, Josh may not have a problem with it, but the simple shot is that not only was it Darabana in the time of Ezra and Hillel, and nowadays, but it'll be forever, right? Right? Because according to him, Kol Shevet V'Shevet means Rove of every Shevet, including the Aseret HaShvatim. What? Oh, very good. So now, what's the problem? Right? So you could solve it by saying, so you could say, so first of all, you could say that according to the Ramban, wait 1 second, so you could say that according to the Ramban, in the time of Ezra, was Shemitah v'Yovel d'Oraita? No. In the time of Hillel? No. Nowadays? In the time of Mashiach? Machloket. Machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar. If you think the Aseret HaShvatim are coming back, then once Mashiach brings back the Aseret HaShvatim, then Shemitah and Yovel will apply again. Yes.
They didn't even do a full conquering of the land of Israel, even when they have...
Yeah, we know. Right? So according to Ramban, it seems like, right, he thinks that Kol Yisrael means Rov Kol Shevet V'Shevet, all 12 Shvatim, and therefore, right, it definitely didn't apply in the Nebuchadnezzar, Ezra, not in the Hillel, not nowadays. The only question is, right, Machloket in the time of Mashiach, and it depends on whether the Aseret HaShvatim come back. Yes? Chassam Sofer is not willing to buy this. Chassam Sofer says, And he says, Mashin yir elefiyani da'ati. Bivadai yir mi alo hechter elamat mikol shevet kedushayim loch yosheo al yud ben shvatim. So he says, first of all, Yirmiyahu brought back some people, but he definitely didn't bring a lot of people. That's true. He brought a representative sample. Why did Yirmiyahu bring back a representative sample? Because apparently there was value for Yoshiyahu, right, to be king over all 12 Shvatim. Okay? And all 12 Shvatim is enough to say a representative sample. Okay? V'otan sheheh dir galuli babel v'chazru mezra. So first of all, it makes a historical claim that there were some who came back in time of Yirmiyahu, as the Ramban acknowledges, right? But the Ramban assumes that those people were not part of Galut Bavel, and what does Chassam Sofer assume? That whatever symbolic group came back, or whatever, as we saw with Hizkiyahu again, whatever group there is, that group eventually integrates somewhat into Yehudah, and therefore they're part of Galut Bavel, and therefore they come back with Ezra. Okay, that's first of all his historical claim. Now, does that help us yet to make Shemitah v'Yovel d'Oraita? That alone? No. Because what is he now saying? He's saying we have a minority, right? Does minority work? No, because it needs to be called, right? Call Yisrael Allah, which maybe means Rove, but it probably doesn't mean minority. Chassam Sofer then makes another move. Says, aha! Kol Yoshvea doesn't mean Rove. You know what it means? All possible. And therefore, he says, according to Rabbi Kifa, in the time of Ezra was Shemitah d'Oraita, potentially?
Yes.
Because he says, if you passed him like Rabbi Akiva, then what? The ten Shvatim are a non-atidim lachzor. They're not coming back. If they're not coming back, that means So what does he say? He says, you need two things. Every group represented, and Paul means, presumably, row of what is possible.
Wait, how do we know that you only, like he brought back all possible?
He assumes, and he says, so he says, according to Rabbi Akiva, that they're not coming back, it's possible that in the time of Ezra, all possible people were represented, and therefore, yes, according to him, well, each group was represented, and it was the majority possible. So according to him, remember, he's defending Rabbi Natan. He says, why would Rabbi Natan think that in the time of Hillel, which was based on the time of Ezra, that Shemitah V'Yobel applied? What about the Atzeret HaShvatim? Answer, Kol Yoshvei Alam means all possible of every, as long as every group is represented, right? So either rogue or whatever.
Meaning,
since the Atzeret HaShvatim are never coming back, now it's never possible to get the Atzeret HaShvatim. And therefore, the only thing that's left are whoever Yirmiyahu brought back. And therefore, you're telling me that now we have a minority, a small minority of Klal Yisrael, Chacham Sofer says, who cares? The Ramban assumes that Kol Yisrael Le'ah is objective, right? Majority of the Shevet. And he says, no, it's not the majority of the Shevet, it's the majority of the Shevet that could possibly be in Israel. And if that means there's only 10 people left, or 10 people that will ever come back to Israel, and the rest of them are cursed to live out their existence not in Eretz Israel, then they no longer count. Because Kol Yisrael is not all people or rogue people, it's all or rogue possible people, as long as each shape is represented.
Wait.
And therefore he says that this, the question of whether Shmita V'Yobel applied in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, he thinks hangs on the Machloket, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Eliezer, because he thinks it's not an objective rogue like the Ramban, right? But it's a rogue of the people who could end up in Israel. And therefore, if you possibly are Rabbi Akiva, they're never coming back, which means that if, as long as you bring back some, that's whatever you're going to get. That's the best you're ever going to do, and for these purposes, that's Kol Yisrael Le'ah. Right? We define it not by objective numbers, but by what's possible. Right? V'nimzal Nishmarim Elzun Yishmiyav V'alukim Me'ezrav Avei Kol Yisrael. And therefore he says, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the time of Bayit Sheni, was Shemitah V'Yobel applicable? Da'oraita? Yes. What about La Halacha? He says, no. Aval anan kaima lan k'Rabbi Eliezer. But we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer that what? They're coming back. Oh, if they're coming back, then what?
Then we can't do it.
Then it wasn't all possible, right? Because possible would be the whole Shevet, and we only had a representative sample, and representative sample is not enough. It's a representative sample that is majority or all of what is possible. And if we pass into Rabbi Eliezer, that means they're coming back, which means it's possible that one day we'll have their Atzeret HaShvatim back in Israel, and therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, which means in Yovel in the time of Ezra or Hillel Doraita, no, it was not Da'oraita, right? Shad Tidin Lachzor B'Mehira V'Yameinu, right? They're coming back in our times. Nimsa Otoma Ashes Nirim Yavu Shalom Yameinu L'Mikri Kol Yoshua. And therefore, it's not Kol Yoshua. V'Sugya De'erachen K'Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, the Sugya in Erachen, which is, right, which the way he's reading it assumes that at some point in Bayit Sheni it was Da'oraita, but nowadays it's not. D'lo Kehilchata, that's against the Halacha. Okay? Right?
Is this going to be defining whether or not there's reference to Jews?
What?
Is this going to be defining whether there's Jews?
No, that's what I gave you as the other Makara.
Oh.
Good. Right, we're going to come back to that in one second. So let's summarize the Shemitah part of it, and then we'll come back to the others that may take us one more day, which is fine. Right? So what do we have? Rabbi Nutam had said, right? Rabbi Nutam said, the Gemara assumes that the 10 Shvatim are not coming back, right? Right, they disappeared. Sorry. Okay, so what do we have? So Rabbeinu Tam said that in the time of Ezra and Hillel, it was Daraita. Now how could it be Daraita? Now how could it be as Daraita? It wasn't the robe of all Shvatim. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what does Kol Yisrael mean? A representative sample, right? Right, Rabbeinu Tam says all you need is a representative sample. Right? And this, we had it as Yirmiyahu brought people back. So Rabbeinu Tam assumes in the time of Ezra, but so Rabbeinu Tam says Kol Yisrael means every group represented. Right? That's Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramban rejects this because he says, no, what does Kol Yisrael mean? Robe of every Shevet, and he seems to assume like Rebbe Eliezer, that the Shvatim are coming back, right? So it's not 100% clear that's what he's assuming, and therefore do we have it? No. Right? According to the Chazam Sofer, right, he says, right, the question of whether Shemitah applied in the time of Ezra is really the machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, because Kol Yisrael means the majority or all of who is possible. And therefore, if they're going to come back, that means we're lacking what we could potentially have. And therefore, it wasn't Daraita. And according to Rabbi Akiva, since they're never coming back, whoever Yirmiyahu brought is all we're ever going to have, and therefore, and therefore it's already fulfilled, right? So according to the Ramban a little bit, and definitely according to some so fair, the question of whether Shemitah applied in the time of Ezra, the time of Hillel, nowadays, right, possibly in the time of Mashiach, right, hangs on the question of whether we posted call that this Asherah Shvatim were coming back or not. And according to Chacham Sofer, the reason that it didn't apply in the time of Ezra was because we firmly paskin that they are coming back, right? And therefore, in the time of Mashiach, it will apply, and nowadays, it does not apply, right? So again, what theoretical possibilities you could have, right? Let's do this one more time, right? So let's assume, right? So call to me all. Does anyone say all, mamash all?
No.
Okay, fine. All possible.
Yeah.
Row, right? Row possible, right? Presumably no one thinks this is it, right? No one really thinks call means all. Fine. Row possible, or a representative, right? All right, representative sample, right? Okay, so. Who holds representative sample? The Kol Yisrael means? Right? This is Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam said, in the time of Ezra and Hillel, where there was a representative sample living in their Halach, it was Bar Tokva. And now? Presumably it's Derabanan. Why? Right, because we don't have a representative sample living in their Shevet, right, in their Halach. Right. So that's a minute time. Okay. What about in the time of Mashiach? Right.
Yeah.
According to right, presumably according to minute time, it'll be all right again. At the very least, we'll be able to pull together a representative sample. Right. Okay. Ramban assumes that Kol Yisrael is Rov Kol Shevet. Right, this is the Ramban. Right, now what's the problem according to the... What? Right, so according to him... So according to him, right, the way that Sansover understands him at least, right, so what does that mean? The Ramban says, Kol Yisrael, that means Rov of each Shevet. Now that means, according to him, in the time of Ezra,
Or Hillel. Right? Or now. Shirabana. Right? Or not Shirabana.
Right? Not, right? What about the time of Mashiach? Potentially subject to a muscle again. Right? The Chacham Sofer doesn't quite read it this way, and he says, no, that can't be what this means. It must be made possible. And therefore, it depends. If you hold, like Rabbi Akiva, that they're not coming back, then what?
Then
in the they're not coming back. In the time of Ezra, right? In the time of Ezra, representative sample was possible, and therefore it was Deoraita, right? And if you all like Rabbi Eliezer there, then they're coming back. So then it was a mute. And therefore, right, it was Dirabonan. But in the time of Mashiach, when it goes there, it'll be Markara.
Right? And then he assumes.
Is it rove possible? Like possible? In theory. Yeah, right, that's how the Chacham Sofer says. He says, since according to your logic they will one day come back, that means right now, we're lacking what we could one day have. According to Rabbi Akiva, we're not, because they're never coming back. And therefore, what we have now is the most we could ever have.
When we come back.
Right? So therefore, he says, the question of whether it could be d'oraita nowadays hangs on the question of whether you think they'll ever come back. If you think they're ever coming back, then until they do come back, we are in an incomplete state that could be completed. If you think they're never coming back, then the state we're in now is the best we're ever going to get. Not us. Ezra. Right? Ezra. Hillel. Right? And therefore, the Chacham Sofer thinks that the question of whether Shemitah and Yovel applies in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash hangs on the question of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. And he then tossed in now Rabbi Eliezer. Now therefore, according to the Ramban, even more clearly according to Chacham Sofer, in order to figure out whether Shemitah applies in the time of Ezra, Hillel, nowadays, right, etc., you need to paskin on the agadic machloket whether the Aseret HaShvatim are coming back. Right? Now this is very odd, because as I gave you from the Rambam, what does the Rambam say very clearly? I gave you the Rambam, the Perush HaMishnah, what does he say? Kvar hizkarnu lecha kama pa'amim, I've told you many times, shekol machloket shetiyeh bein hachachamim ve'eina tluya b'ma'aseh, anything which is a machlokin amongst the chachamim and does not depend on halacha maisa, ela kviat svara bilvad, ein makom lesok halacha kachad mehem. You cannot paskin on it. And this he's commenting on this Mishnah. So what does the Rambam say? Yes, but he's commenting on this Mishnah. What does he think? He's commenting on this Mishnah. What does he think? It is not a halachic machlokin, and therefore whatever he thinks, this is not part of the discussion, right? I don't know what he thinks, but he thinks this whole thing. Yeah, look what it is. In Perek Yud, Halacha Gimel, Sanhedrin.
But is there a clear machlokes?
No, there's no obvious. This is the Ramban, the Chacham Sofer's construction of this. He doesn't explain what the relevance of the Aseret HaShvatim. He just doesn't.
What are we talking about?
What?
When we talk about Rove regarding Allah, is it like 51% or something that is done?
Rove is usually 51%, is more than 50%, yes. Okay. Good. So that is your little aside as to the relevance of the Machloket of the Aseret HaShvatim on Shemitah. Okay? That is a fascinating, it's amazing to find this in the middle of Shemitah, it's one amongst the most bizarre. This is all over my hands now. This marker is terrible. We don't necessarily care, we don't have to pause on that. But, according to the Chacham Sofer, what's going to happen in time of Mashiach defines what is considered possible next. right? That doesn't matter. Now, you guys tell me what you want to do, okay? I have now told you the relevance of the Kol Yisrael Aleihah discussion on Shemitah. I can either try to al regel achat rush you through a few other relevant makaros about the Aseret HaShvatim, right? Or we can spend one day going on a total aside, this at least is actually relevant to our sugya, right, which is, okay, what is the status, and this is a big machloket in general, of the Aseret HaShvatim, right? Let's say you could prove someone was in the Aseret HaShvatim, right?
Through DNA.
What?
Through DNA.
Through whatever. Are they Jewish? Right, which is a machloket.
Right? Jewish.
Because the Gemara in Yevamah that I gave you says that lo zazu misham achasum goyim ovdei kochavim gemurim.
That
the
Beis
Din
that. Yeah, so the Beis
Din that is the machloket. So again, so you guys want to take one more day and just see the basics of how this plays out, because what you'll see is the Gemara has this comment in Yevamah, which is that they sat, basically, I'll give you the background, okay? The Gemara in Yevamah says, if a Jew marries a non-Jew, Kiddushin is not Tophet, right? Right, they're not married. And then the Gemara says, but why aren't you afraid that you think it's intermarriage and it's not, right? This person has been acting as a non-Jew for 25 generations, but that's because he didn't know that 26 generations ago he was Shlumiel, whatever, from God, right? Right? I don't know. He's from Asher. Are you happy? You want a different one? I don't know. I don't care. Right? How do you know that this girl, whatever, is not a descendant of the Aseret HaShvatim? So the Gemara has this very cryptic line, which is, Lo zazu misham asha asum avdei kelchavim gmurim. They didn't move from there until they declared them non-Jews. And the question becomes, in the postgame, in the Grishonim already, first of all, what does that mean? Right? How do you make someone a non-Jew? And it is a halachic statement. Remember, it's the reason, this is the Gemara's reason for why if someone goes and marries a non-Jew, we don't assume they need a get. This is the Gemara's halachic reason. So it is a halachic statement, fully halachic statement. But the question is, what does the halachic statement mean? Right? This was a huge machloket, not just because of the Aseret. Now, one manifestation of this is the... So one manifestation of it is, in the modern period, and I gave you just one article in Chumen about it, which is it possible, and I mean that at multiple levels, for any of these different peoples from around the world to claim to be descended from Aseret HaShvatim, right? Because on the one hand, it, right, claiming that the Ethiopians or the Bnei Menashe in India or whatever it might be are descended from one of the Shvatim depends on the machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. But it also, depending on how literally you take that line, it could be when the Gemara says Asaim Avdei Kachavim Gemurim, what does it mean? If you take it literally, what does it mean, Josh? That even though they are biologically descended from Jews, and you could prove it, it doesn't matter because we strip them of their Jewishness. And then you'll tell me, Mafitom, you can't strip people of Jewishness. Oh my God. And then you'll discover, that's a machloket. You follow Rashi. But what you don't realize is that was actually not the only voice in the time of Gonim and the Rishonim who thought that not only could the Aseret HaShvatim lose their Jewishness, but it was possible for, it's not just the Rishonim, we quote the position of the Gonim, right? But it is actually a pretty popular position. I did give you the Migri, because it is a nice summary of it, but there were many people who thought that not only could the Aseret HaShvatim lose their Jewishness, but any apostate could lose their Jewishness, right? That if you apostatize, you cease to be Jewish. Or even if you didn't cease to be Jewish, your kids would not be Jewish.
In that case, what's
not necessarily. Right? And this...
In that case, what's the distinction between someone
and a what? Nothing. Meaning he's evil, he'll be punished, but in terms of marriage, he's not Jewish anymore. Yes, this was a very popular position amongst the Gonim and the Rishonim.
They
didn't Anyways, so if you guys want, what we can do tomorrow is just try to trace these basic positions. Do you want to do that? Do you guys want to take, guys, do you want to take one day just surveying the basic, Sergei here, of is it possible for the Israelite Shvatim to have lost their Jewishness? Is it possible for later on for people to lose their Jewishness? Okay, fine. Right? Fine. So that's what we'll do. That's the, what I gave you here is a survey of that Makarot, right? Which again, is two Nafkaminas, right? One is the marriage one, and the other is, as you'll see in this article I gave you in Tchumen, should modern Jews be at all interested in bringing back people who claim to be descended of Israel Shvatim, right? Because if we either Paskin like Rabbi Akiva, in which case we don't believe them, right? Or we Paskin like a strict read of the Gemara, then it doesn't matter if you're descended from them because you're not Jewish anymore, right? Then it doesn't matter, right? Or even if we want to bring you back, we'd have to convert you. Right? Right?
Yeah.
And that's why this Agadah, right, becomes a very important halach. My hope is, this is, like I said, a very, very brief survey of it. Many people have written very extensively about this. Gerald Blitzstein has an important article on this. Professor Kanerfogel first wrote an article on it, and then more recently wrote an entire book on it called Brothers from Afar, which is very good. Very good book. I endorse. I, if you really are interested in the topic, then you can read through it.
Who wrote it?
Ephraim Kanerfogel, yes. Professor Ephraim Kanerfogel. He was my teacher in graduate school. No, we do not have it here. I'm sorry. Okay, so that's what we'll do tomorrow. We'll do a brief survey, a little bit of an aside, right? That's Wednesday. Thursday is our Siyum, so we'll see. We won't have so much Hanukkah time, so maybe we'll just, right, I was going to do the Shemitah oil Hanukkah, but we still have 3 days, right? We have 3 days, right? We have Thursday, Sunday, Monday, right? Because you only go up Monday night, right? After the, what's it called? After the scavenger hunt, right? Okay, fine, so I'll figure it out, but tomorrow we'll do this, and then Thursday, whatever we have time to, maybe I'll do a different, like, shiur that doesn't require any preparation, because I don't know how much time we'll have by the time we get back from our siyum. Okay? Fine, so let's do that.